The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Some of you might have seen or heard that on investment statements, there is some form of this sentence: prior market performance is not an indicator necessarily of future dividends. However good your portfolio did in the past, as it's essentially saying, that's no guarantee that it's going to do good in the future. Now, this is just them making sure that they are protected, their reputation's protected, so that they don't get the bad reputation of leading people on and people throwing their money away through them. It's also to protect them liability-wise, to make sure that they don't simply get sued. They don't want people to get their hopes up unnecessarily or unreasonably, so they have the qualifier. But it really is true. True for investments, true for so many things in life. Prior performance is not a guarantee of future performance. Unless, of course, we are talking about the Lord. God has a great track record. Great track record of delivering his people. It's not just great. To be frank, God's batting 1,000 when it comes to getting his people out of all of the trouble that they have ever found themselves in. Insurmountable odds, God's people, from Adam onward, have found themselves in bad situations, things that they could not even dream to get out of. And there are a myriad of stories. I could have read more, but I only had so much ability to read so much this evening. Time and again, they were in trouble, and time and again, they had not partial rescue, but complete and full rescue by their God. Time and again, God showed himself willing and able to save his people. There was the flood. Who could even think, even though Noah had the promise ahead of time, who could think that a man and his family in a boat could survive a worldwide deluge in which the entire face of the earth is covered with water, everything, everyone drowned and destroyed, and you, for those many months, survive it? But of course, that is exactly what the Lord did. He preserved Noah and his family inside the ark, and they made it through to the other side of that worldwide event. Who would have thought that a nation like Israel, in the situation that they were in Egypt, running from the Egyptians, not just the Egyptians on foot, but their best soldiers and their best chariots and their best horsemen pursuing them, men, women, and children, and they find themselves up against the Red Sea, who would have said, in their right mind, they have a chance. They will get away. They have a way to make it out of this. But of course, that is precisely what happened. God delivered Israel out of the danger that they were in from the Egyptians, and he even destroyed the Egyptians in the process. Or with the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know them, who would have thought in their situation that they had any chance whatsoever to literally make it out of what happened to them unscathed? But that's precisely what happened. They went into the fiery furnace. The people that brought them up, even they were killed, but those three men were protected by the Lord himself to where they didn't even have a mark or a smell of fire on them afterwards. The Lord miraculously saved them. There are many more stories, but tonight's that we have looked at so briefly are sufficient. God doesn't swing and miss. Every time he gets up to bat, God delivers. God is shown able. He delivers his people 100% in totality. That's true for the small dilemmas that his faithful family, his people, whether they were a few people in the family of Adam or grew as they did with Israel, it's true for them in small dilemmas, and it is true in the biggest dilemma that God's people have ever had. After the creation story, we know how the story plays out. We know what comes next. The fall into sin, in which death, wickedness, and evil, and every negative thing you can think of came into God's good creation and destroyed it. And it wasn't just a dilemma for Adam and Eve and their family. It was a dilemma for the human family, all of us who would come from Adam and Eve. It was bad odds. No, really. Let's be honest. It was beyond insurmountable odds. This great dilemma of sin and death in the world, because it wasn't just God's family or people versus an army or a host or a big body of water. Because of sin, it was God's family versus God himself. Who can intercede in such a situation? Who can you get out from, or how can you get away from God or get out of such an awful situation? It is not something that God's people could fix themselves, no. As we say in our confession every week, we justly deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. But God didn't abandon the people to that awful fate. He didn't leave Noah, the preacher of righteousness, and his family to perish with the world. He didn't leave Israel to perish at the hand of the Egyptians, and he did not leave those faithful three young men to perish by the fire of Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. And he did not abandon humanity to the sin and death that we chose. But God made a promise. You messed it up. I, God, am going to fix it for you. And in Jesus Christ, in his incarnation, in his passion, in his resurrection, God didn't try to fix it. He did fix it. Completely, 100% in totality. God actually saved us by taking the curse of sin and death to himself and destroying it for sure and certain by his rising from the dead on Easter. Many people in situations in life find themselves in the finals and they get there and they choke. They can't cut it. They can't win the game. But not God. God didn't win small victories only to biff it for the big one, the one that mattered the most for us. But he won the small victories, and yes, he won the greatest victory of all. As he delivered his people before on Easter, he delivered his people in the biggest way once and for all. Remember that tonight, celebrate that tonight, and set your hopes in life on that victory for everything that you are and you do from now until when the Lord takes you to himself. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.